The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Being our El Shaddai. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our Father. And Lord, this evening, we come with open hearts. The Bible tells us that the entrance of your word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. And so we come with simple hearts this evening, that you bless us, that you instruct us, that you teach us what we must know, and that we may grow in our walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So this evening, I'll continue sharing with us on the woman in God's plan. Part what now? Part 3. So the woman in God's plan. So far, we've been able to cover some very important grounds. We've been able to look at the fact that everybody can do ministry. Everybody can preach. Every gender can preach. The things God does for us and does through us have nothing to do with gender. They have nothing to do with gender. Whether you are male or you are female, and as we see, and as we've already said, whether you are Jew or Greek, whether you are a Gentile, whatever nationality you are from, what God will do for you has nothing to do with your gender. Are you following me? And so if you're a lady here and you've been limiting yourself, I can tell you that limitation is strictly your limitation, and the limitation is in your mind. And so everybody, male, female, young, old, fat, slim, can serve the Lord and can go to whatever height that God wants person to get. So God doesn't choose people because they are young or old. God chooses people because he chooses them. And that's an eternal truth. God doesn't choose people because they are young. He doesn't choose us because we are fat. He doesn't even choose us because we are intelligent. It's amazing to know. He doesn't even consider our natural abilities before he chooses us. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to choose only people that can sing, or I'm going to choose only people that are good public speakers. And when people hear me talk or hear some pastors talk, they assume that all of us, it's because you can talk well that God chose you. Well, it may shock you to know that some of us are not powerful orators as you think we are. It's the Holy Ghost that does these things. Hallelujah. And so God doesn't choose people because of their ability, because of what they can do or what they cannot do. God chooses people because he wants to choose them. It is him that chooses people. And so we looked at that the first day. And the fact that God wants to use women. And he's going to use women in the last days. Are you getting me? We've seen a lot of people and examples in the Bible. And I hope this begins to warm your heart. I hope you begin to get set as a lady. And begin to prepare yourself for what God wants to do with you. Because I tell you, it is actually a lot. Hallelujah. And last week I began to show us, we're going to look at things around the area of submission and the fact that even though a woman is called of God and can serve as a bishop, when she is married in her husband's home, she is a wife and she must submit to the man as a wife. A bishop, but a wife. An apostle, but a wife. What do you call a lady apostle? Huh? I knew you guys are going to jump on that. Well, a lady apostle, but she is a wife. A lady pastor. What do you call that one? But she's a pastor and she's a wife. And so you must understand, and this is very key, such that at the end of the day, we can bring a balance between the ministry of the woman and her home. Because God doesn't want your home to succeed
and then for your ministry to fail. In other words, you want your ministry to succeed so that your home will fail. Are you getting the point? That has been happening in so many places. You see people, a powerful woman of God, but then in her home, she's having issues with her husband. She's having issues with everybody. The kids are nowhere brought up. I'm going to address that a little more next week. Okay? Because next week is going to be a very powerful moment here. But then, we looked at that. So you can strike that balance. And the answer is simply in one word, submission. And I explained to us last week the fact that submission is not a woman thing. You remember that? It's not a woman thing. When people hear submission, they say, why is only women we tell to submit? Well, the Bible never told only women to submit. As a matter of fact, the place where the Bible teaches on submission, Paul was teaching on many other things. He was teaching on rather submission. He just mentioned wives, submit to your husbands. If you go further, he would tell the church to submit to Christ. If you go further, by the time you get to chapter 6, he told the children to obey their parents. Are you following me? He will also tell everybody in church to submit to their leaders. If you now go further, he will tell slaves to submit to their masters. So there is submission at different levels. Are you getting me? It's not just a woman thing. Just that in the home, the woman should submit. That same way, the man and every other believer should learn to submit wherever you have to submit. Whatever you have to submit. And no instruction in the Bible overrides another one. None. No instruction in the Bible overrides another one. And so that's why I was trying to strike that balance. That if your wife is a leader in church, the Bible teaches that she must be submitted to. And if your husband at home, the Bible said she should submit to you. And that's apostolic doctrine. Are you following me? That's apostolic doctrine. So you wouldn't say, well, why should I? No, you should. You should. Because when you stand in your position as a husband, right? Let me use the word grace. There is a grace for that position you stand in. When the woman stands in her position as a minister of God, there is a grace for that office. Are you getting me? You can't get it. If you don't have it, you don't have it. If it's not there, it's not there. And, maybe next week I may talk, if God permits me. You must understand when I talk about grace for this, grace for that. When God calls people, he empowers them. When he brings them into an office, he empowers them. And when you submit to that office, you are submitting to the grace of God. Are you following me? And so, you notice you have a friend. Maybe you just have a friend. Both of you used to roll together. And then suddenly, they say, she's now a minister in church. Immediately that announcement was made, there is a grace and ability that rested upon her at that moment. Are you following me? Now, at that moment, she now has the capacity to do certain things she wasn't able to do before. Not because of her, but because of that office. Are you getting me? And the anointing and grace that works in that office. For instance, let me give you an example. The pastoral office. There is something about the pastoral office and wisdom. If you're a pastor here or called to the pastoral office, you must function with a lot of wisdom. God has to bless you with it. Are you getting me? Because this office needs it so much. Brother Egan was sharing a story of how he was sitting around with a younger minister, a very young pastor, was counseling someone. And the matter that they brought before the young pastor was big, like it was really a matter. And even him, Brother Hagin, as an older minister, was just wondering, how will this guy get out from this thing? How will he answer the question? How? I said, and then in less than 3 minutes, this guy opens his mouth and then, settles the matter. He said, his jaw dropped. And the Lord said, it's not about his age, it's the anointing for the office. Are you getting the point? And that's the anointing. You can't learn that from Harvard. You can't. Hallelujah. You can't learn that from anywhere. And so there's an anointing for these things. Your ministers that are guys in this church are going to get married. Your pastors that are guys in this church are going to get married. When they get married, that woman, I may touch this next week, joins herself to their calling in different ways that I'm going to talk about next week. Once they've joined themselves to their calling, that grace that is working on them begins to rub off on the woman. People say, no, I don't believe in that.
it's anointing sexually transmitted. Listen to me. Listen. When God gave Adam a wife, the first name a wife was ever called in the Bible is what? What? Help meet. Actually, it appears like this. A help meet for him. Are you getting me? And so, a woman will help her husband in whatever he's doing. So, when that woman has a calling, when the man has a calling, the woman has a part in that calling to assist that calling. And there is a grace for that calling. Are you following me? So, it's not to start arguing that what of... I'm not saying everybody that marries a pastor must be a pastor. I will address that next week very well. If God allows me. Amen? I've not done that on any stage, but if God permits me, I sense he will. I will address it next week. You see... But then, you have it. The woman already has a part of that calling. So when you dishonor, I'm talking about submission. I'm just going to do it. But when you dishonor that woman, because she's a woman, and you honor her husband, I tell you, you've dishonored her husband. And it's not going to work for you. The model of marriage in the Bible is what? Is what? Christ and the church, right? Christ and the church. So imagine you saying, I like Christ, but I hate the church. You are insulting the church, talking down the church, but you say, Jesus, I love you. Fool yourself. You don't know. No, but you can't love a man and hate his wife. He will hate you. Let me give you a little secret. Do you want to hear it? Never fight a man's wife. Even if the man is beating his wife, don't join them. Don't beat the woman. The day you touch the woman, that's how you know that there is love. The way he will shout at you. Because when you disown a man, as far as he's concerned, it's an insult. I was talking to someone, a relative of mine, so he was telling me of the day he threatened to kill somebody. I say, how can you give somebody that kind of threat? You're telling that day, you told the person, you told him, I'm going to kill you and pursue you from this town. I say, how can you say that? He said, can you imagine? That guy called me on phone and told me, you know, your wife came to see me. And I spoke some bad words to her. And next time I see her, I will say more. He says, see, I will kill you. You know, when I heard that, I said, well, even if it's me, I will say the same thing. That's how it is. So you think you're going to meet a man of God and dishonor his wife because she's a woman and not submit to her, but then you're bowing down before the man and say, I celebrate you, sir. See, you're not celebrating the man. You are a hypocrite. Are you following me? And I'm not saying, because I'll touch some things next week, God permit me. I'm not saying the wife is going to be perfect. She will not be. Never. Of course, you are not. Even if you had become the wife, you will not still be perfect. Say amen. So, she's not going to be perfect. So, why should I submit to her if she's not perfect? Whoa. The Bible said, submit yourself to them for their work. Sick, simple. Whether she's carrying dada or she's carrying mala, it's not your business. Whether she used to fight her husband at home, it's not your business. Say amen. You submit for work's sake. Simple. We say, what work is she doing? Are you in their house? Do you know how she's helping that man to stay fit spiritually? And remove distraction from his path. Do you know that if he quarrels with that man on Sunday morning, he cannot preach in church? So calm down, we'll celebrate grace. Glory to God. So you don't do this. She's a woman. Why should I? You don't do that. You know, I listened to a spiritual father talk some time ago, and he was talking so painfully how we don't celebrate pastors' wives a lot. He was talking about it. I think when he was mentioning at God House also. He was talking about how it's easy to celebrate pastor, but the wife is that one. Every lady in church is fighting her. Every lady in church feels, why should she be the one? She's not even behaving like pastor's wife. So you know how pastor's wife used to behave. And they didn't marry you. Are you following me? And it's really that bad. And every guy feels, you cannot talk to me like that. She cannot talk to you like that. But in your office, your boss is a lady. And she's talking to you like this and like that. And you're not complaining. You are there.
We must learn to see things how God sees them. We must learn to teach submission. See, it's not just a woman thing that we are teaching. If there is submission from at every level in church leadership, there is submission. Do you understand? At every level in life, there is submission. So that's where we stopped last week. So today, I want to talk about something that is very important whenever we teach women ministry and all that. And that's the issue of dressing. Amen. That's the issue of dressing. This month is going to bless you tremendously. And then the guys too, this will bless you. Amen. A major issue that comes up, you know, whenever we talk about women and ministry is the issue of dressing. And it needs to be addressed. Because, for instance, in 1 Peter 3, verse 3, the Bible talks about, Peter talks about dressing and talks about the woman particularly. I'm going to tell you why. Peter talks about dressing and talks about the woman particularly. 1 Peter 3 and verse 3 said, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing gold and of putting on apparel. I'm going to come to this later. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, 1 Timothy 2, verse 9, Paul, too, talks about dressing. He said, in like manner, also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or belts or costly array. I'm going to do this shortly. So you see, at different points where we talk about women, Paul and Peter would teach on how a woman is expected to dress. That's why we cannot ignore the issue of dressing when it comes to women and ministry. Of course, when it comes to ministry generally. But I'm focusing on women because we're teaching about women today and because the epistles laid emphasis on women and ministry. And you will see why when we continue. Are you following me? So we're going to look at the issue of ministry. So the question is, does God care how a lady dresses in ministry? Does he? Does he? I'm going to say yes and no at the same time. Yes, because there are instructions in the epistles concerning dressing, which we're going to come to shortly. If it's not important, the epistles will not talk about it. Are you getting me? The Bible will not talk about it. So that there are instructions, and if the Bible gives instructions in that light, it means that we should really look at it. But then no, because our dressing or our outfit does not commend us to God, neither does it condemn us before Him. So does our dressing matter? Yes, it matters, but it doesn't commend us to God or condemn us before God. You know, Jesus was talking in Matthew chapter 23, verse 25. In Matthew 23 and verse 25, He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. So these guys pay attention to the outside, but the inside is messed up. He said, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, and that the outside of them may be clean also. In verse 27, he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whited sepulchres. You know what this is? Graves. Have you seen graves? They look so fine. You make them with tiles and all that, and it's fine. He said, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. In verse 28, he said, even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So Jesus was saying, how can you be so perfect on the outside? On the outside, you dress as you should. You dress properly, but within, you are messed up. So what Jesus was trying to say is because is that we should pay more attention to the heart. Because it's actually the content of the heart that commends us to God or condemns us before Him. So it is faith in our heart that will commend us to God. So you dress as you should properly, but then your heart is not right with God. God is not suddenly going to say, oh wow, because she's dressing well, let's just look at her dressing and focus there. No. God is looking at you, and He's looking not just at what you are wearing. He's looking at your heart. He's looking at the state of your heart. And I believe you can relate with this, because you must have seen many people who dress so perfect on the outside, but when you interact with them, you are wondering, I don't get the point. Because God pays attention to the heart. So when it comes to God, the Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when it comes to God, it's a faith thing.
It's a faith thing. Because his focus is at the heart. You know, God told, when I was telling us on the man God uses, I showed you, God said to Samuel, man looks at the outward appearance. He said, but I look at the heart. Hallelujah. And that's how God is forever. So he's not going to pay attention to how you are on the outside, the gown you're wearing, the whatever you're wearing. His attention is your heart. Do you have faith in Christ Jesus? Are you a believer? Even as you're doing ministry, what are your motives? What are your intentions? How are you living? He's looking at your heart and not at the outside. So that should be settled. It doesn't commend us to God. But then, our dressing too matter. Because if it doesn't matter, the apostles will not talk about it. Are you following me? So we're going to look at this thing generally. One of the scriptures that you want me to talk about today is Deuteronomy 22 verse 5. Right? Where the Bible says that man shall not wear that which pertaineth to a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man, and neither shall a man put on woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto God. Now, let me say this quickly. I always tell the story about this verse, of how I came across this verse as a very young Christian. And I use this verse to terrorize a lot of people. This is my anchor scripture of evangelism. Especially when you come in and you meet the girl already wearing trousers. You already know what to preach. He says, sister, we brought you the word of God. The Bible said in Deuteronomy 22 verse 5. You know. And funny enough, I had never, like I always say, and it happened to many preachers, I had never taken time to go through the entire chapter. I had never checked whatever that verse was saying. All that mattered to me is that man shall not wear that which pertaineth, a woman shall not wear that. And that is it. And that is the injustice we do to Bible study. We bring the Bible and we take the verse we feel we want to say now. And every other one can wait. If you check this same chapter, you will see verses where the Bible teaches that we should not do mixed cropping. You know what mixed cropping is? You should not plant maize and plant beans or cassava in the same farm. Because if you do it, it's an abomination unto the Lord. You read other verses in this place, you'll find places where the Bible says you should not wear wool and wear linen. I mean, your clothes cannot be made of wool and linen. Your clothes must either be wool only or linen only. Hallelujah. In case you don't know what wool and linen is, look at what you're wearing. What you're wearing has wool, it has linen. Say amen. Amen. Yeah. So what does that tell us? That tells us that if we are going to base our argument on women wearing trousers or not wearing trousers on this verse 5, we must also check every other verse in that book to make sure that we are carefully obeying everything written there. The book of Deuteronomy will tell us that people should not work on the Sabbath day, but you cook on the Sabbath day, on Saturday. If our Saturday has become your main day of work, say amen. The Bible teaches all these things. So why are we jumping to one verse? Because we want to satisfy what we want to hear. But let me look at this verse shortly. The word pertaineth is the Hebrew word keli. K-E-L-I-Y. It actually means an instrument, a weapon, an armor. It's a weapon of war. It talks about warfare instruments. So, and the word woman there, or the word man rather, is the word geber. That's the Hebrew word G-E-B-E-R. It talks about a warrior or a valiant man. So, it says the woman shall not wear the weapon or the armor of a man or of a warrior. You know, the woman do the same thing. Check your Greek, check your Hebrew rather. You have it. So, it's actually talking about war. Say amen. So a woman should not be found using a man's armor to fight. And there are reasons why all these instructions we are giving. Another school of thought on this verse says that this verse is basically about homosexuality. And when it says a woman shall not wear that pertaining to a man, he was trying to address the issue of, you know, homosexuality and all that. Are you getting the point? But to think that this verse is a place to build your argument on wearing trousers or not wearing trousers, you are actually wrong. Because actually, the issue about men and women's garments is determined by man and not God. Did you hear what I said?
God doesn't choose women's garments. Neither does God choose men's garments. Men choose these things. Men choose these things. So what makes a cloth a woman's cloth? What makes a cloth a man's cloth? Men sat down. You know, most of the time we argue about these things, we make it look like God dropped certain clothes from heaven and say, this is man's clothes. This is woman's clothes. No. You find that nowhere in the Bible. Man began to make clothes. The purpose of clothes. The first time... The first time we find the issue of clothes come up in the Bible was in Genesis 3. Where the Bible said that the Lord God made animal skin for them to cover their nakedness. That's the purpose of clothes. Basically to cover your nakedness. Secondly, to make you look fine. Are you getting the point? So there is nowhere in the Bible where the Bible says that this cloth is men, this cloth is women's and all that. You know, and that's why when people bring the trouser argument, I see it most times as an attack on the ladies. We just want to tell, no, religion has not been fair to women. We want to tell women what to dress, how to wear, what to wear. We want to tell them what not to wear. Hallelujah. I want to make sure, listen to me, there is no clothes. The clothes that we call male clothes and female clothes are determined by men. And talking about this trouser issue, if men brought out a certain trouser and say this is men's clothes, and then after some time brings out another trouser and says that this cloth is woman's clothes, why do you have a problem with that? The people that brought out the other one and called it men's clothes are the same people that brought out this one and called it woman's clothes. Are you following me, guys? So I think he's just trying to fight over nothing. So where do we put face cap, male or female? And I say unisex. Do you know that the first people that ever wore t-shirt, you know t-shirt, you know, what do they call it? This polo that has bought it from here to here. The first one that ever wore t-shirt was during World War II. It was used by soldiers. So primarily it is a man's cloth, a warrior's clothes actually. But today the same people that will say a woman should not wear trousers, they wear t-shirt, adieu papa, they wear... Papa Lado, behind them. All over the place. So what's the argument about? Are you following me? What's the argument about? And so you find out, they're talking about men of women. I'll tell you what governs. There is a law. There is a law that governs dressing, and I'm going to get to that. But it's not here. Say amen. It's not here. And I saw a guy saying, any woman wearing trouser, no matter how anointed she is, cannot lay hands on me. I say, oh, who even wants to lay hands on you? Carry your head. Glory to God. Who wants to lay hands on you in the first place? Ah, it is my head. Yeah, wearing trouser. Spirit of Jezebel. I say, ah, spirit of Ahab. Same thing. You must learn to see things the way the Bible sees them. So she's going to say she cannot lay hands on you. Do you guys know that, talking about this dressing thing, and I've said this all the time, you can brush about it. You know, in Scotland, men wear skirts. And there's nothing wrong with it if that is their own men's clothes. That is a kind of skirt. I don't understand it. What is their dress code? And it's fine. Do you understand? Why are you laughing? It's fine. And so I think the dressing a lot has to do with... So I don't think we have to start building a case around men's clothes, women's clothes. I'm going to show you what the Bible teaches, what the epistles teach. But then another issue that comes up in talking about women and dressing is the issue of jewelry. Makeup. Should a lady wear jewelry? Should a lady make up? Amen. So should a lady wear jewelry? Let me ask you. Why? Eh?
Let me show you some scriptures about jewelries. In Genesis 24 and verse 17, we see a lady called Rebecca. You know Rebecca? When they went to find a wife for Isaac. So I'll just go all the way to verse 22 because of our time. So Rebecca, of course, the man met Rebecca. It came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. So the man gave her a gift, and the gift he gave her were jewelries, as in heavy jewelries, gold jewelries. Hallelujah. That's the gift given to Rebecca. You find that also in verse 52, go to verse 52 of that Genesis 24. He said, and it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the ground, to the earth. Verse 53, and the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold. You see the jewels again. And raiment, and gave them to Rebecca. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. So part of the gift, when they came to marry her, we are jewelries. This was way before the law. Are you getting me? Jewelries were given as gifts to women. To a woman, Rebecca. In Genesis 35, we see where the issue now came. In Genesis 35 from verse 1. Now, pay attention here because this will bless you. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fledest, wow, from the face of Esau, thy brother. Now, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods. Because this is where people come to say earrings are strange gods. So let's see. Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make thee an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Verse 4. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. So this is where people get to, and they say, earrings are strange gods. Are you following me? Are you following at all? So I'm coming to this shortly. What was happening here was, they began to use these earrings. Remember, these earrings were made of gold. They began to use them to make gods for themselves. Are you following me? So on account of that, Jacob said, put these things away. So it's just like I have an earring in my ear, I have chain on my neck, pure gold, and then I'll still show you this in the Bible. And they want to make an idol. So we submit those gold, and then we melt it. You understand? We melt it and we use it to carve something, and it becomes a god unto us. Jacob said, put these things away. So they were asked to put away those earrings on account of idolatry. Are you following me? You find this again happening in Exodus 32 verse 1. Exodus 32 verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wife. So watch closely. This was Exodus 32. Genesis 35, Jacob said, put away those earrings. Do you remember? Put away on account of idolatry. This is Exodus now. Aaron says, give me your earrings. It means they still had earrings. Are you following what I'm talking about? It means they still had earrings in Exodus 32. And it wasn't just their wives that were wearing, even their sons and their daughters. Are you following me? I'm not saying anything, no. I'm just reading the Bible. He said, bring them to me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. Verse 4. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after that he had made it a molten calf. So you notice, he used those earrings, melted the tin, and molded a calf. So this is where they use those things. Let me give you an example of what is happening here. It's just like We are very good with carpentry. We are very good at carpentry. And then in our church, all of us, we use walking stick or we use carpentry, you know, things made of wood. And then when they want to make a god for ourselves, we now use those woods, break them, and use them to carve a god. That doesn't make using wood wrong. Are you getting me? We are all wearing clothes. And what, like, there are gods, some of you that masquerades in your village, that wear clothes. Normal material. Is that not true? Is that not true? That doesn't make that material wrong. But using that material for idolatry is wrong. Are you following me? So they were wearing earrings. They bring out the earring. So they brought it out. So if it doesn't, notice it wasn't just earrings, even bracelets. So in our generation, we can also would have included watches. I didn't get the point. So they gathered all the gold, whatever, in their body, and they melted it. And they used it to make golden calves. So you notice they were still wearing earring here. So on account of that, Jacob said, put it away. When Moses came back, he frowned at it. And you might begin to wonder, where did they get these earrings they were carrying from? How? They bought it. In Exodus 12, verse 35, God told them when they were leaving Egypt to go and collect these earrings from the Egyptians. He says, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. They borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, even clothes. 36. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they lent them unto them such things which they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. So God said, they can collect those things. So they had those things with themselves. At different points, they wanted to go inside of that. They will use those objects because these were pure gold. And in order to make their god, if they didn't have earrings, what would they have done? Maybe use sand to mold it. I get the point. That wouldn't make using sand wrong. Because they use sand to mold a god. Are their gods made of sand? Are their gods made of cement? Talk back to me. Are their gods made of wood? Does it make using cement wrong? It doesn't. So because there are gods that were made of gold, and an earring is made of gold, it doesn't make using earring wrong. It will also shock you. Amen? It will also shock you to see that after this Exodus 32, that they made a golden calf. Now, you now think that after this, they threw away their earrings. There's nothing like that. In chapter 35, verse 22, let's see. Notice they used these earrings to make a god. But now they wanted to, in Exodus 35, they wanted to build unto the Lord. See what happened. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing, and brought what? Bracelets, earrings, rings, and tablets, all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. So they wanted to build something. So the same earring that was melted to make a golden calf was now given unto the Lord so that they can use that same gold to build for the Lord. Are you following me? So it's not the object that is wrong. It is the purpose what I'm using it for that is wrong. Who is following me at all? So see the next verse. They gathered all these things. Verse 23. And every man with whom was found blue. So they, you know, it wasn't just gold they brought. They even brought their clothes. So it was just an offering, anything you have. So of course, this verse tells you that they were still wearing earrings given as at chapter 35. In fact, and they even offered it unto the Lord, and the Lord accepted it. It will amaze you to know that by the time Solomon was going to build his temple, what he used to build the temple was pure gold. Who's good I'm talking about here? Pure gold. Pure gold. So the fact that gold was used to make earring, and then the earring was melted back to use the same gold to make a golden calf, it doesn't make the earring wrong. It doesn't make gold a bad thing to use. If you are still, let's say amen. So you notice that there was nothing really wrong. So the only time they were asked to put away earrings was on account of idolatry. When they used it. So it wasn't put away your earring totally. It is put away the gods. The earrings that are not serving as gods to you. Put them away.
So maybe I noticed that some of you have guts made of sand, clay soil in your bag. And I say, put away those guts of clay from your bag. I've not condemned clay. Who is following me at all? Or I notice, for instance, that you have a phone. And suddenly, for some reason, you had a revelation at night. And you turned your phone into your God. You now keep it. And you are worshipping it. My phone, I bow before you. I will tell you to put away that phone. I'm not saying you should stop using phone. I'm saying that phone that has become an idol to you, put it away. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So there is no place in the Bible that says that we shouldn't wear earring or necklace or bracelets. Nowhere. If you're not wearing one, you've been taught wrongly. If you don't like it, because I'll still touch this. If you don't like it, it is fine. Because one problem is where pastors try to bring their personal preference as doctrine. I'm a very conservative person. I'm very reserved. There are many things I don't like. Do you understand? That is me. If I begin to tell people what I don't like, you guys will be dressing funny in this church. There are things I don't like. It's not about Bible. It's not about my spiritual growth. It's just about me. Maybe how I was raised. Maybe my choices. I'm not going to impose that on you. If I don't like ladies that wear earrings, I'm not going to marry a wife that wears one. Or if I marry a wife that wears one, I say, you will not wear it when I marry you. Is it a sin? No, I don't like it. And it's fine not to like it. Amen? I don't like ladies that wear trousers. Fine. Marry a lady that doesn't wear trousers. And tell her, we should agree, it's fine. Or you're a lady, you don't like the trousers. It's okay. No, but you are not wrong not to like it. It's your choice. And God is not going to say, you don't know way. Forget even this not knowing waiting. I've said that today. Forget it. It's okay not to like some things. I get the point. But to now impose it as doctrine on the ladies, on your fellow ladies, that will be wrong. The funny one is the case they build around attachments. And that one has no biblical backing. No biblical backing. They say, don't attach anything to your hair. How is that even possible? Except you go on low cut. Amen? And you see what religion does. Because religion knows that the standard it has set for itself is too high, that it cannot meet it, it now lower the standard. It say, well, don't use attachment. Use wool. Use wool or use thread. He say, why? Because attachment was made in the kingdom of darkness. But wool was made. And the funny thing, you see educated people talking like this. People that went to school. So you really believe that in the kingdom of darkness there is a place called attachment section. Yeah, they are producing attachment. As we are talking now, demons are walking. He said, bring the thing. Bring. And how do they get into the world? Through the marine kingdom. So he just comes from water. Somebody appears at Bar Beach. Bam! And begins to carry it. How do you think? And you see people that even get as graduates of chemistry, industrial chemistry, and they're talking like this. Are you following me? Nonsense. He said, don't use it. It was made from the kingdom of darkness. Let me even say this to you. You know me, Jay? Paul said, even if a food was offered to idol, he said an idol is nothing. So even if it was produced by mommy water level 14, 14, 14, I put it on my head, nothing will happen. If I touch it, it has been sanctified. I'm telling you. Are you following me? Paul said an idol is nothing. So in other words, the last time Paul saw Madioha, Paul said, see nothing. Are you following me? Last time he saw mommy water, I said, that's nothing. He said, yeah, nothing is nothing in this world. By the way, he put it, he said, we know. He was saying it like common knowledge. He said, we know that an idol is nothing in this world. He said, but some people still think it is something, so they have a conscience of idol. That's what Paul said. And then you find out all these things are attachments. Kingdom of darkness, wood. Kingdom of light, we've won. Kingdom of darkness, thread. Kingdom of light. Once it is fine, it's darkness. It's not fine. It's light. Do you understand how we classify it? So you don't miss it. And then somebody asks you, my teaching good? And so whenever you see anything that is expensive, what does it mean? Darkness. If it is ugly and cheap, light. And funny enough, the attack is on women. And so, let me show you a scripture. Esther chapter 2. Esther. You know Esther? Chapter 2, verse 12. I want us to use New Living Translation. We're going to read 12 and 13. Before each young woman was taken to the king's bed, she was given the prescribed 12 months of beauty treatment. Why are you shouting? 6 months with oil of myrrh, followed by 6 months with special perfumes and ointments. Do you understand? When it was time for her, that's Esther, to go to the king's palace, she was given her choice of whatever clothing or jewelry she wanted to take from the harem. So Esther did not enter the king's palace without earring and necklace, without perfume. She just enter. She was treated with perfume for 1 year. And so when we say, God is raising Esther in our generation, you should know what you are saying. You should know what you are saying. And then God raises the Esther, and you tell the Esthers they shouldn't. Even in the Old Testament, you see the problem, we are no longer under the law. But some things we do in this testament, even people under the law did not do it. Even people under the law wore earring. Under the law. Glory to God. You know, I don't know why you're happy. I'll still scatter this message for you now, so calm down and follow me. And so these things are not, you know, there are no, the Bible things actually say, don't wear this. Don't wear that and all. In fact, Ezekiel will give a prophecy and use earrings and all that figuratively to describe what God will do. Ezekiel 16 verse 11. He uses earrings, jewelries, and all that figuratively to discuss what God will do. He said, I gave you lovely jewelry, bracelets, beautiful necklaces, verse 12, a ring for your nose, earrings for your ears, and a lovely crown for your head. Verse 13. And so you are adorned with gold and silver. Your clothes, you are made of fine linen and we are beautifully embroidered. You ate the finest food's choice flour, honey and olive oil, and became more beautiful than ever. You look like a queen, and so you were. So you notice, this was a figurative description of what God did for those people in the spirit. So it wasn't like God gave them any physical earring. Are you getting me? But he uses that earring to describe what he did for them. So you will not even see God imply in any way that this earring is sinful or is taking people to hell. So the question now is, what of 1 Peter chapter 3? So that's where we're going to dwell our story today. Amen? So 1 Peter chapter 3, from verse 1. Amen. We saw this last week. It's likewise you as being submission to your husband. We saw this last week, right? That if any obey not the word, that they may, without the word, be won by the conversation of your wives. Verse 2, he said, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Now, pay attention to verse 3. Let's read together, everybody. Okay. Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing gold or stay here. This is where people get to, and they say, even in the New Testament, we were asked not to wear gold.
You see, you're already playing with Bible study again. You are also asked not to plait hair and not to put on apparel, clothes. You know what it means? It means come as you are. So what is he teaching here? Who's Adonai? Put up like NLT. Let's say NLT. Because I'm going to show you some Greek words, but then let's say NLT first. For as much, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 3, you've jumped to somewhere else. Amen. He said, don't be concerned. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. NLT said, don't be concerned. King James said, who's adorning? Go back to chapter 3, to verse 3, with King James. That word adorning in the King James is a very interesting word. The first time I checked it, I was like, wow. It's the word cosmos. K-O-S-M-O-S. Cosmos, simply, who knows what cosmos means? It's not about something. What is the cosmos? The cosmos. Huh? The world, generally. Amen? And I'm saying, your cosmos, your world, should not be all about plaiting hair, wearing of gold, and putting on clothes. Amen? NLT says, don't be concerned with it. King James said, let it not be your cosmos. Come on. Are you following me? Put up another translation. Don't be concerned. Okay. Amplify said, let not yours be the merely external adorning. That same word, cosmos. Another translation. Message said, what matters is not your outer appearance. So what the Bible is teaching is, this should not be all that matters to you. It shouldn't be about wearing earrings, wearing fine clothes. Are you following me? Putting on expensive things. That shouldn't be a lady's drive. That shouldn't be a lady's world. What should be her drive? See verse 4. Verse 4, what should be her drive? Come on. Let it be the hidden man of the heart. That which is not corruptible. So in other words, a lady should pay more attention to her spiritual life than she pays attention to her outward life. That's what he's saying. And so your concern should not be fine clothes, fine makeup. So the Bible is not saying you shouldn't wear that. It's saying that shouldn't be your drive. That shouldn't be all that matters to you. That shouldn't be your head deck. Go to verse 3. Put up NLT. Let's read verse 3 and verse 4. It says, don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. What should you be concerned about? You should clothe yourself instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. What is he addressing in this chapter? Submission. Do you remember? Verse 1, 2, submission. He's trying to teach us how the women of old, like Sarah, how they won their husbands over, was not with how they were dressing. They won their husbands over by the state of their hearts. The fact that they were humble, they had good character, they were submitted. I don't get the point. So a woman's concern should not be her looks. A woman's concern should be within. Remember, Jesus said, why do you spend so much attention on the outside? Why the inside is messed up? It's messed up. Are you following me? So the teaching about dressing, jewelry, and all that, the first lesson you take home from this meeting today is that God doesn't expect you to be carried away by what you wear and how you look. Doesn't mean you should not look fine. You should. But if that becomes all your drive, all that matters to you, that's what, you know, that's your headache, then that is a problem. Say amen. That is a problem. You find this instruction again in 1 Timothy 2 verse 9. 1 Timothy 2 verse 9. Go with King James. We'll come back to NLT. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, verse 10, but which becometh women professing holiness with good works. Go to verse 9. Go to verse 9. Go to verse 9. Put up NLT. Let's read together NLT, everybody. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, go. And I want women to be modest in their appearance. I'm coming to this. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing and not draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their hair or by wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothes. What should you rather do? Verse 10. For women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by the good things they do. So he's saying it is character over outfit. Are you following me? Character over how you dress. Character over your painting. Character over earrings. Who is following me at all? So what it's not saying is not that women, if you wear earrings, you go to hell. If you wear fine hair, God is angry. You make God look like a sadist. He said, she's wearing fine clothes. And she's even coming to church. Have you gone to churches where, this is not, I have nothing against them, but churches where you get into, it's like they're monitoring, why are you dressing fine? Why are you looking that way? So some people come to church, the person that are looking at, why is she wearing knicker? Why is she wearing trousers? Why is he wearing this? Why is her clothes fine? Hey, are they coming to church for a show? That's the reason they come, that's for a show. Hey, church in Kabiko. That's what, before you know, service is over, they were abusing, observing everybody. That's not what God is saying. God is not a sadist. However, God is talking to the lady. And maybe this should extend to guys too. That there is more to you than what you wear. And that shouldn't be all that drives you. Matthew 6:31. If the thing that drives you is how you look, how fine you are looking, how fine will I look today? You know, you see what the Bible says about you. Go to King James quickly. He said, therefore, take no thought. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where with that shall we be clothed? If you begin to think like this, what does the Bible say about you? See verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. So when you find a believer overwhelmed with, what am I going to drink today? What am I going to wear today? I need to look fine. I can't go to church today. I'm not looking that fine. I feel so useless, so miserable. I can't even afford five gowns. I have only 4 gowns in my wardrobe. If that's what that bothers you, you're behaving like a Gentile. Are you getting me? And at least you can begin to see why this instruction was given to women. Specifically. Can you see? You have not seen it yet. Because that is what, and painfully, even some men now are becoming like that. It's just all about wears. Say, a lady makes 100,000 naira for the month. She has not given to anybody. She has not given to the church. She's not even thinking about her school fees. All she wants to do, there was one fine girl I saw in the market. She uses 25. Sometimes when she's done dressing up, what she's wearing, her clothes are more expensive than her. Are you getting me? Her clothes are more expensive than her salary. She's obsessed with those things. That's all that matters to her. You can't fulfill your calling that way. Are you following me? You can't fulfill your calling that way. It is not wrong to put on with ones, but your life should not be all about with ones. Such that, I can't wear with Chineke. You're going to be with 17,000. How can I put on that? See, if you can afford 17,000 naira with one, afford it and wear it. If you can afford 200,000 naira with one, God is not a sadist. He will not be angry with you. If you can afford that, what I mean afford that, if you can really afford it. You know what it means to afford something? It's not with your life savings. Do you understand? It's not like saving. If you can really afford it and wear it. Look very nice. It's fine. But where your drive is, it's all about what you wear. And you see, it finally gets down to low self-esteem. Because your esteem is now coming from your wares. So any day you are not dressed as you want to dress, you are not confident. You feel people have to accept you based on how you look. You see the things that distract women from the ministry.
This is one of them. Ephemeral things, material things, beauty, fashion, this, that. I want to wear that. I want to wear that. I want to calm down. One thing I've noticed about expensive things is that sometimes, it's the only person wearing something that knows how expensive it is. Have you noticed? Sometimes the people you are trying to impress are not even noticing you. They don't even know those things you are wearing are that expensive. So, because they don't notice you, to show that you've been overtaken by this, you have to find a way to let them see it and let them know. Amen. And because fashion industry, they know this thing, so they now make bags and crest it Gucci. So that when you wear it, you can show the whole world that this is Gucci and it's expensive. Are you what I'm talking about? That leveraging your emptiness. Yeah. People are vain. So lady must not be like that. Can she afford it? Let her use it. Should she be driven by it and mad about the whole thing? No. When it is like that, you are going back to the crime committed in Genesis. You are now turning it into a god for yourself. Amen. Ladies are interesting, and if you can afford it, it's fine. Yet it's like Zoe is coming. Say, yeah, thank God, I prepared it. Say, I need to buy clothes. Why? Now, it's not wrong to buy clothes. Like, I can't wear the same clothes I used for Zoe last year, for Zoe this year now. It's somehow. What you don't realize is that I don't even remember what you wore last year. Who can remember what any lady wore last year for Zoe in this place? It's only you that know what you... I can't even remember what I say. I can't wear. Can I wear this same shoe I used last year? Why do you overestimate your relative importance? You think we are noticing your shoe? We didn't even see it. Serve the Lord. Don't be driven. If you have this thing, look good as much as you can. Wear what you're comfortable with. Wear what makes you feel happy and what have you. But don't be crazy and driven by it. After this meeting, you might need to take some, go to your wardrobe. And after you open your wardrobe, look, you will see why you are broke. Go home and check. Go and check. Open your wardrobe, you will see, so this is why I'm broke. You know, a believer should have what we call self-control. You should be able to watch something straight from having it for some time. That's what you do with every other thing. That's what you do with fasting. The fact that you are fasting, you really, really want to eat, then you restrain yourself from eating till 3 or till 6 or till the next day. That's self-control. You should be able to want something and restrain yourself from having it. Are you following me? You see, this materialism, this whole thing is the reason why many girls are not even married today. Because I don't want any kind of wedding, no. I don't like that way. That wedding gown is cheap. I want... They are dragging somebody's child that is trying to manage life. If somebody treats your brother the way you are treating that guy, how will you feel? Don't take all his money. Because I cannot wear that wedding gown. I cannot... I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying my mind. Should I say my mind? Everything I should wear on my wedding day, it must be new. And it cannot be less than this. Why? You know, I'm one of those people that that I laugh at. I'm not saying this is a bad. If you can afford it, it's fine. Okay, I'm just telling you what I think. You will see. You see, don't be obsessed. I'm so passionate about your outfits that you forget about yourself.
And it's even turning towards guys now. And it's a very bad thing. For example, a guy wants to use all his money to buy the reigning shoe, the reigning this. You know, when ladies, when guys, when ladies think like that, I can, one, it's fine. But ladies, when a guy thinks like that, I wonder, is that how you're going to raise your family? You're going to get all your money, get 500,000, use 300,000 and buy senator. If I'm a woman, I will not marry you. Because you wear senator and you'll be hungry. All of us will be hungry in the house and you're your senator like this. A hungry senator. You can't be that crazy about material things. There is more to you and to your life than what you wear. Are you following me? So this craze all over the place should stop. So yes, God doesn't say you mustn't wear this. But then God doesn't still want you to be crazy and driven around as though you're a Gentile. Of course, that Gentile is quoted. As though you're an unbeliever. As though you're just someone that doesn't have the life of God in him. Yet you're saying something more than gold. You have something more than gold. And yet you don't have clothes. It has changed your mood. I couldn't buy what my mates are buying. And then you're feeling so bad. You come to the program. You think you'll tell a million married. Just as if. Because you couldn't afford what? So you are now drawing your self-esteem from what you wear. Are you following me? They say, go and preach. You know, a pastor. You know, somebody came here. It was very funny. Somebody came here to see me one of those days. I think it was one of those days I was looking. It was like I was wearing suit. Come. Amen. One of those days I was on suit. And then, after the whole event, he came to see my office. And I said, I was blessed by the service, that. And I said, and one more thing, sir. I see the glory of God upon your life. I say, wow, tell me more. He said, I can see it now. He said, if it is like this, if this our ministry is, me self, I will do ministry. And I said, so you are not going to do ministry because you cannot dress like this. You think we started ministry dressing like this? You want to see my throwback pictures? Why are you acting like you don't know? You think there's one throwback picture I don't want to ever forget? I was wearing a terrible belt. The belt, all this belt that is black, but it's white from here to here. But the thing is, no matter how we looked and we still look, we still preach. But that's not what gives me confidence. See, with my tattered clothes, I'm anointed heavily. And that's the truth. And that's what matters. I said to him, I said, no, sir, you know, when you dress like this and serve the Lord, even the devil, we know that the Lord is good. I said, yeah. You're not ready for the work. And I know you're not coming back here. And he never did. Don't be so material driven. Don't be like that. Are you getting me? Next week, I'll talk about marriage for the ladies, choosing and all that. Part of this I'll address next week. Because you notice, because you want to dress in a certain way on your wedding door, you know, now you want to dress in a certain way, you want to kill your husband, or you don't want to marry the person that God has sent to you, you better marry. Build. You see all those things, you will still wear them. And you will wear them at a time you don't have to break a bank for them. Are you getting me? You know, Bishop Edebo is a very rich man. How many of you know this? But I heard him one day say, he said, I've never put my child in a school that I needed prayers to pay the school fees. He said, I have never lived in a house that I needed prayers to pay the house rent. And that's a lot of wisdom. I got what I'm saying. Be at career hub this Saturday. Because it's not all about getting money, it's about having sense. So as rich as he is, he will still check, can I afford these school fees if I put my child there? But no, you want to put your hand somewhere. Hallelujah. Take this life easy. You see that place, you will get there. You will. Hallelujah. The important thing is, you see what you can afford now. Look good there. Serve the Lord. One thing about life is that if you are fine, you are fine. If you are not fine, you are fine. Let me know. You know, that's the point. No matter what you try to do, a lizard in Nigeria cannot be an alligator in America. A lizard is a lizard. Are you following me? So why are you saying all of this? That is why the first thing you should wear is your self-worth, your self-confidence. If you don't have it and you want to draw it from clothes, even after wearing the clothes, the way you still be walking, you still be walking like a beaten, defeated human being. I didn't get the point. You should not have that confidence. Because as far as you are concerned, you are not okay. Are you still here? So the first thing about dressing is you don't build your world around it. It shouldn't be your costume. It shouldn't be everything about you. The second thing I would say for this about dressing, I've said the first one. The second thing I would say about dressing is that your dressing affects how people see you. We already know this, right? And so it matters. You know, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. You know, in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10. Proverbs 7 verse 10. They've used this verse to deal with a lot of people. He said, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and the subject of her. So there is a dress code called the attire of a harlot. I don't even know if it's a Bible thing. You know it. So the issue is not, should I wear trouser? Should I not wear trouser? The issue is in one word, decency. Are you following me? The issue is in decency. The guy said, no, it doesn't matter. It's my body, I have to show it. You have a problem. You have a problem. Decency. That is what we call that type of adult. You can't come out, your ties are showing, everything is just outside. You're a minister. It's a major challenge for women in ministry. Because they want to have a touch of the world and then a touch of Christ. So tomorrow she's on evangelism. She's looking all proper. The next day she's going for a wedding. Come on now, it's a wedding, right? She goes naked. So you can't differentiate the person you saw on outreach and the person you saw in a wedding. I understand and I agree that there are clothes for different occasions. There is clothes for wedding and clothes for outreach. It's fine. But make sure that what differentiates the clothes is not in the decency. Make sure that what you wear to a wedding, that should you meet a sinner by the side, you can see boldly preach to the person dressed like that. Who's following me at all? That's the dressing of a harlot. That's the way harlots dress. When they come, they say, Aswan is a harlot. Even if she's not. And they say, why will you judge me by what I'm wearing? Don't judge me by what I'm wearing, Joe. No. Even the English tell us that you are addressed the way you are dressed. It's a simple thing. People are not spiritual. They don't see your heart. The first thing they see is what you are wearing. Which is why I will still address, which is why you should be good. Which is why it should be clean and neat. You have one skirt, it's fine. Don't let it be torn. And when it is torn and you want to sew it, it's a black skirt. Don't use white thread for crying out loud to sew it. Don't be stupid. Are you sure you are ready for me? Don't be looking what are you? That's looking just anyhow. Don't use white thread now. That's a black. You didn't notice the place, a black skirt. You see, it will not show. We saw it. Say amen. So you should look good because it's fine. You look good. Just don't look indecent. There's the same way there's an attire of a harlot, there's an attire of a madman. Don't look like a mad person. That's an attire of an idiot. Don't look like an idiot. Learn proper color combination. Learn how to dress. Say amen. Oh. Mm-hmm. That is color combination. There's a way to wear these things and then they match. Don't have the attire of an idiot, of a madman, of an animal. Just look proper. But one word is decency. Decency. See here, it's not about being woke. There are some parts of your body that shouldn't be seen by everybody. The primary reason God made clothes for Adam and Eve was to cover their nakedness. But now we wear clothes to expose our nakedness. Is it that you finish having your bath and you forget some of your clothes in the bedroom? Is that what happens? You don't have friends that can tell you the truth? You don't have a mirror? You didn't look at the mirror before you came out? Who deceived you? And you say, ah, it's fine. If you have it, show it. See, let me tell you guys something. This, our physical appearance, it counts. And that's why even guys, I'm talking about ladies today and all that, this thing affects everybody. You can't wear your shirt and then you throw your button open from here to here. What are you trying to show us? What are you feeling like? Eh? That was sleeper's chest. What are you showing us? Dress properly. Say amen. This is that message. You should not be looking at me when I'm preaching. It doesn't look like I'm talking to you. So just be looking up, down. You know, so that it's somehow if you think it's you I'm talking to, I'm just saying. Dress properly. Let me say this to you. Don't be carried away by the trends out there. Because trends will keep changing. Did you see your parents' pictures? Do you remember what they were wearing? These trends will keep changing. If you are being driven by the trend, you will remain a chameleon. Every day you are changing. With the trends changing, you are changing. And see the problem, I've said this before. The more the trends are changing, the trend is redefining indecency. And that is the problem. Such that what was indecent 3 years ago, if you wear it today, it's now normal. It's not even showing anything. It's not that short. 3 years ago, it was short. In the 90s, it was short. Come on, wake up, George. This 21st century. The Bible has never changed. Your thighs are still your thighs. Your breast is still your breast. 22nd century, 23rd century, nothing will change about it. You are still exposing your nakedness. Are you following me? Nothing will change about it. Dress properly. Now, somebody asked me a question one day. What if you are married as a girl? And your husband wants you to dress indecently for him. And I answered the person, it's a very good thing. I believe that when you are with your husband, you should be indecent. You know, no clothes is really bad. It depends on where you are. Are you getting me? It is indecent to wear suit in your husband's room. Do you understand? There are clothes that my mentor used to call lo and behold. That's what you wear when you're with your husband. You know lo and behold? Huh? I don't even know it. So there are clothes like that. I said if that's what he wants in your room, we can put the bed together. Why should he even wear a suit? Or now tie wrapper. Why are you like this? And throw away that wrapper you've kept that you want to be tying your husband's house. Throw it away. Ask the guy around you. He doesn't want his wife on wrapper. Ask somebody. So fine. So you wear this is cool. I said, but if what your husband wants you to do is to come out naked on the streets. No. Why did you even marry that kind of man in the first place? Hallelujah. These things are not just in the Bible. They are common sense. That you should cover some parts of your body. And so decency is the word. I'll show you one more scripture. Or three more. Four more. Five more. Four more. Don't mind me. 1 Timothy 2 verse 9. So I'm going to read Amplified. So that was that winding down from here.
So these are matters surrounding women ministry. You know, how should I dress? The Bible did not say don't wear trousers to preach. It didn't say that. All the Bible says is what I'm showing you. So 1 Timothy 2 verse 9. What I'm showing you. Put up Amplified. Now I would like you to read this with me. Or just pay attention. Also, I desire that women should adorn themselves modestly. You see that word modest? And appropriately. And sensibly. In seemingly apparel. That is sense now in dressing. Are you getting me? Modestly. Appropriately. Sensibly. In seemly apparel. Not with elaborate. So there is sense in this thing. So what is the Bible teaching here? Moderation. Not elaborate. Moderation. Because I've talked about this since I'm talking about moderation. You know what it means for someone to be moderate? The Bible teaches moderation. So there's nothing wrong with makeup. Me, I want to fix my lashes. Let it be reaching there. Be moderate. Are you following me? Watch it. Moderation. You know, as a minister, you're a model to people. And tomorrow you're going to be a model to the younger generation. What do you want to show them? I'll touch it next week. A minister, a lady minister, is a model. What do you want to show them? What do you want to show them? So that is moderation. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. Philippians 4 verse 5. He said, let all men. Come on. King James says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Go back to Amplified. Let your moderation be known. Let your moderation be known to all men. Amplified said, let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. See, let me say this to you. I believe in moderation. And the Bible teaches moderation. It's not everything and everywhere at all times. Anyhow you want to do it, there must be moderation. I didn't get the point. There must be moderation. You say, if you have the money, flaunt it. That is also how a believer should not be flaunting his money all over the place. There must be moderation. I hope you know this. There must be moderation. So every cloth in the market is not for you. First of all, you check the first thing we talked about. There is a proper way, you know, you shouldn't be obsessed with it. Then you check how decent is this cloth. Then it should be moderate. It should be moderate. It should be moderate. It should be moderate. Let this be you. Don't dress fine to church every Sunday and then on your birthday we see you on Facebook, we are wondering who is that? You know, initially when you post that kind of thing, I don't say anything. Recently I started doing something else. If you post it on your story, I will like it. Why are you laughing? And I did it to one sister. She posted where she was wearing one or two clothes. So, I was on a story on Facebook. So, I loved this thing. So, she turned me up immediately. So, it's not like that. Actually, what happened is that I didn't say anything. I just loved it. Oh, you are looking good. Then I begin to explain. No, sir. It's not like that. What happened was, when I wanted to snap the picture, I did not see the real clothes I wanted to wear. So, this one was now available. I only said you are looking good. Say thank you. Hallelujah. But even when they begin to explain like that, you know why you will explain like that? Because even when you are snapping that picture, something was not comfortable in your spirit, man. You just wanted to follow the trend. Deny that something did not talk to you in your heart that you shouldn't wear this thing. You were hearing it. You know. Should I talk to you direct? Something was talking to you, and it's always like that. So that's why when they now post it and your pastor comments on it, that is a wicked comment. Just come and put full stop. Come. you now see it and chat up. Say, Mama, good evening. Say, good evening, how are you doing? Say, Mama, are you angry with me? Say, no, why should I be angry with you? Did you do anything? No, I'm just feeling like you're angry with me. I can feel in my heart that something. Did you do anything? Not really. Okay, Mom, sorry for that picture I posted. You know, something was telling you that was wrong. And that was the Holy Ghost.
But the trend was pulling you because you saw one celebrity wearing that clothes and it looked so fine on them.
You're a minister. You're a woman that has a calling. Do you understand me? Restrain yourself. So moderation. And the final thing I'm going to say on dressing before we go is love. You must dress with love in your heart. Love towards who? Love towards people. In 1 Corinthians 8 verse 9. So let's see NLT because of our time. It says, but you must be careful so that your freedom. Go to verse 7. Let's see the flow of this. Just the previous verse. Verse 8. Aha. He said, it's true that we can't win God's approval by what we eat. We don't lose anything if we don't eat. And we don't gain anything if we do. Is this true of dressing? We don't win God's approval by how we dress, right? Do you understand? But he now said, but you must be careful so that your freedom does not cause others with a weaker conscience to stumble. Continue. For if others see you with your superior knowledge eating in the temple of an idol, wouldn't they be encouraged to violate their conscience by eating food sacrificed to idol, that's offered to idol? So because of our superior knowledge, a weak believer for whom Christ died will be destroyed. So he's saying, even though there are some things that do not really matter, there are some things you should not do because you are considering other believers. Are you getting me? So he says, I don't care, it's my life. No, we live for people. That's why we are believers. But there is a way you don't also dress, because you know, if I do this, for me, all this you are saying, sir, when I wear my short skirts, my conscience is clear. Let me even believe it is true for you. What of the other believers? What of other people that will see you? Are you following me? What of other people that will see you? Do you really care about them? You think you have a stronger conscience than myself? I have a very tough conscience. I hope you know, Jay. Things don't enter through my skin. See, if I want to go by that, I can just... You think if I come up to this stage, plaiting my hair and sagging my head, I think I'll be feeling bad. I don't. It's not touching me. I can do all of that. You think if I drink 2 bottles of good that are out there, that I cannot see minister the Holy Ghost? You think I can't? I will. Amen? But we don't always do what we feel we can do. That's even the character of a child. You must think about people. Why won't you see me taking alcohol? Because there are people. With all the knowledge you have, you will still see me going, you know, just taking 1 bottle or 2 bottles of beer. You will still say, hey, pastor, good evening. It's still there. That's the same reason in your dressing. There is a way to. Think about people. Think about people. Think about people in your corner. Think even about the guys that you are putting into trouble. You say, they should remove their eyes. They won't. They are moved by the things they see. It is forever true. It is true yesterday. It's still true today. Amen. So the brother is in church. He cannot concentrate because you are just sitting by his side and your labs are showing. You know this, he will not just be looking. Why is he looking? You know, say to fear, a shower, remove your eye. Why did you advertise it? Why? Did you think about that brother? Do you think about the person that will sit by your side? Do you think about the pastor that will be preaching to you when you wore that thing that will be showing all your cleavage and you now come and sat in church? Did you consider the pastor? He said, he's a pastor. He should focus on the word. That's why we don't give you front seat in church. So that the pastor will not be stammering. Say, you know, the word of God is a light unto my feet.
You should consider people. You know, you see, how I know that people are still young as believers is when I hear them say things like, I don't care what people think about me. It's my life. That's a sign of spiritual immaturity. A mature believer, a mature human being thinks about what people think about him. It's only children that are insensitive. You know children are insensitive? If they want to cry by 1 o'clock, whether the mom just slept 3 minutes ago, they will start crying. That's how children are. I didn't get the point. If a child is hungry by 5 a.m., she will wake up. And she will cry until you wake up and give and bring food. Children can be insensitive. So you stand up. You know, have you seen those children that you carry them and you stand up, they stop crying. You sit down immediately. Ah! You stand up, they stop. Have you seen that kind of thing? They don't care whether your waist is paining you. That's how kids are. And that's how you act when you say things like, I don't care what they think. You should care what people think. You're not a child. You're not insensitive. Doesn't matter whether your tongue is rising and hitting the roof. If you still don't walk in love and think about how what you do affects the next person by your side, you are still a spiritual baby. Are you getting me? Think about how what you do, how the words you speak will affect the other person. How the way you dress will affect the other person. Think about it. Well, I know that we cannot all please everybody. Because no matter how you dress, people must talk. I hope you know that one. Of course. I will not ask you to live your life. You cannot please everybody. However, you must be mature. You must try as much as you can to at least obey the Bible. Be decent. Be decent. They say you should wear trousers as a lady. It is fine. But don't wear the one that is now so tight, showing all your curves and everything, showing all the lines. And then you wear another crop top to back it up. What are you trying to do? What's your aim in life? What do you want to achieve? What happens to wearing a longer top? Don't act like you don't know what I'm saying. What happens to that? But because you want to be in the trend, don't be like that. Amen. Say, I'm a believer. I don't follow the trend. Say it again. Say, I am a believer. I don't follow the trend. Yeah. So one last scripture. Romans 14. So you saw the first Corinthians. Romans 14. Verse 21. So you think about people. You think about love. What I'm going to wear now, why is it going to affect people? That's why I tell you guys sometimes, ladies, sometimes you want to go for evangelism, you should consider people. That's why sometimes when you stop for evangelism, there are things you shouldn't wear. Because you are considering people. Are you following me? It must guide your dressing. You know, I like watching Catherine Kuhlman and all her videos. And one thing that amazes me is the dress code of all those ladies. Do you observe? You see Catherine Kuhlman, you see her. You see Mara Rosetta, you see her. You see McPherson, you see her. You see even Joyce Meyer, you see them. You can't just find them dressed anyhow. And just say, ah, it's my life. You can't know, you go tell me what I go do. You don't know that when God puts an anointing upon your life, He has lifted you as a model to people. And people are going to interpret whatever you do in different ways. In different ways. Put up NLT. Look at this. Put up NLT. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. Let's read together. Say, let's want to go. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. Say this with me. Say, Henry will not eat meat. If like, call my name. Say, Henry will not eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it will cause another believer to stumble. That's spiritual maturity. That should guide your dress code. So what should guide my dressing as a lady? One, my clothes must not be a gourd
unto me, or should not be all I live for. 2, moderation. 3, decency. 4, love. So before you buy the clothes that it is trending, check these things. Is this clothes now becoming, this makeup, is it now what I live for? Is it now everything that concerns me? Hallelujah. How come the money you spend on clothes is more expensive than the money you help other believers and other saints with? How come is that, that's all that matters to you? I know ladies want more clothes, and it's fine. Now, I heard one of my mentors say many years ago that how he runs his home is 1 clothes for himself, 7 for his wife. And many years ago, and I know, and ladies can relate, and brothers too can relate. Get the point? So, a guy can afford to have 3 shoes, and he's fine. I know you want to have more, I understand. But I never knew in my life until I visited somebody, I never knew that a woman can have 14 shoes. I never knew. A student too. Because we did something in our fellowship time when we were in school. We were like, if you have, the man of God was like, how many of you have up to 7 shoes or to 10 shoes this way? My mother was like, yeah. And I saw many girls going there. He said, 9 shoes, you see them. You know where I fell in now? I said, how if you have 1 shoe? Now we did here. And of course, he made some of them. But that's another way to cure your heart of materialism. He made some of them give out some of those things. He said, decide what you give out to some persons here. So as the leaders of the fellowship had to go to their houses to go pick up those things they wanted to give out. It was when I went to this lady's house that I saw more than 14 shoes. This is not slippers. This is not sandal. Shoe. 14. And it's not bad. I'm not saying it's a sin. I said I was just amazed. Ladies are just designed that way. But make sure you're not gradually worshipping your shoe or your clothes. Make sure that's not all you live for now. Always remember that your life is more valuable than what you wear. Hallelujah. Say, Mr. I'm not what I wear. Say it again. Say it again. Say, I am more valuable than my clothes. Say, my clothes, they don't give me value. Hallelujah. You know, that's something I tell people jokingly. When they tell me, ah, Pastor, this clothes is so fine, I say no. It's the person wearing it that is fine. The person wearing it is making the clothes fine. If you wear this clothes on a goat, it will not be fine. It's because I'm fine. That's why the clothes is fine. Don't you think it is true? It's just that the guy is so cool. So anything he wears will fit him. And stop admiring me. Just admire yourself. Think about it. You see, if you don't wear that self-confidence, everything you wear will still not be fine. It might be fine to everybody, but it will not be fine to you. You still be feeling that sense of, how many of you know that you are beautiful? I don't know why the Lord said I should go this direction. Let me see your hand if you know you are beautiful. Have you ever doubted whether you are fine or not? Have you ever felt bad for not being fine? You know, somebody told me one day that God is partial. Have I told this story before? The girl told me that God is partial. She was listening. She said, look at her, they greeted that person. She's tall. She's fine. Look at me. I said, you will forever be ugly if you don't change this mindset. Because even as I was still trying to hype her, what are you saying? Fine, girl. Is there a pastor? Leave that in. You think it's not about encouraging me. I say, okay, stay with your ugliness. You must change. You see, this is not even a Bible matter. A woman that must serve the Lord must be confident in herself and in who Christ has made her and not in her clothes. So you can take away that woman's clothes and give her rags. She still wears it with a level of elegance. I get the point.
Are you following me? Some of you don't know. When I was talking about looking fine. Some of you don't know that there were times even in this ministry that it was one trouser that we had. It's not figure of speech. That's why the trouser is always black. But you will not know. It is brushed today. It is washed tomorrow. It's ironed next tomorrow. It is repaired next week. It just has to be fine. You have to look good. And then, as a way of closing, begin to care more for the ministry than you care for your looks. Care more for the ministry than you care for all these things. I don't like saying this all the time, but I'm going to say it today. Ever seen a dead body? The makeups will be useless. The gowns will be useless. Only impact will remain when we die. Are you following me? The gold chain, the gold earrings, they will be useless. If you like, be buried with all of them. That's still useless. It's just termites that you are feeding. Are you following me? Only impact. So care more for the ministry than you're obsessed with all these looks, wears, and all that. I expect you to look fine because I teach excellence here. Amen? But don't be driven by that. The Jesus we live for is of more value than whatever clothes that we are going to wear. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? I want to take two questions if you have any, then I close. Are there any questions? Just wave your hand, I'll get to the mic. And anybody? Come on, ask if you have any. I'm going to close this now in the next 10 seconds. So if you have any question, raise your hand. Then. Okay, get the mic for your sister. Hurry up. Give her the mic. Any other question? Okay, another question here. So I'll just take those two. You have one, two. Okay, quickly.
So, I know this woman. She said that, she does not wear jewelry. She does not wear trousers. She hates it. She even went to the extent of stopping her kids. But before she started stopping her kids from putting on those stuff, she usually buys it for them. It's just that she heard some person say that those wearing this would go to hellfire and all that. So she stopped her kids from wearing it because she does not want the kids to go to hellfire. But she herself, she always tells her kids that she was told by God not to wear them. That God told her, both in dreams and then. And also, I also heard that one day when she said that that she notices that when she wears earrings, she wears wristwatches, that she finds herself doing all sorts of bad things in her dream, and then she finds herself being possessed by demons in the dream. So, sir, I don't know. Is it possible? And then is it also true for God to tell someone not to wear jewelry?
Hallelujah. Okay, fine. So I'm just going to go straight to the answer. Can God tell you not to wear jewelry? That is you and God. If God told you, He told you. But then, don't ever use a personal experience as doctrine. Amen? In the Bible, God told Ezekiel one day, "Son of man, take this scroll and eat." Have you seen that in the Bible? And Ezekiel ate scroll. He said that it was as honey in my mouth. Ezekiel cannot now build a doctrine around scroll eating. Is there anything you want to grow spiritually? Eat scroll. That was just what God told her to, told him to do. So if God told her not to wear jewelry, which I doubt, I'll tell you why I doubt, that is for her. It shouldn't be a reason why you impose it on your kids. Number two, the reason why she says when she wears it, she feels demons are possessing. I know all that kind of thing. It's a wrong teaching that has been given to her. Demons cannot possess a believer. Amen? Do you understand me? But then, if God tells you not to wear earrings, for whatever, it is possible. It is possible. Especially if you listen to the Holy Ghost. There are places you might want to go to.
God will tell you to remove your earrings. Are you getting me? It can happen. They say, if it tells you not to wait, obey. But don't build a doctrine, a culture around it. You don't do that. Okay, and that demons are possessing her, that one is not true. Demons can't possess the believer. It's just what she has built around her mindset and all that. However, what you do for such people is to pray for them. That's all. Pray for them. Pray extensively. You can talk to them, but pray. Because such people, even your message, don't, you know, they enter. So just pray first, and they will see the light. Amen? Let's have you. Jennifer, yeah?
Okay. Pastor, I'm not so clear on that area. Maybe you can throw more light on it. When you are starting, you said something about you're not marrying to your husband's ministry. I don't know if you are implying to the husband that either has like a call of God on his life, or the man that doesn't have a call on his life. So I think it was kind of...
I'll say more about that next week, okay?
Okay, sir.
Whichever of them has a calling upon his or her life, the other person is joining him or herself to that calling. And there are things God will have you do in that calling. It could be big, it could be small. I'll address that next week. Do you understand? It's not specific to the husband or the wife only. Do you understand? Let's have... You right? Okay. Fast. So that will close.
It's like concerning some growth that involves our work, like modeling agency. In that situation, shouldn't have forfeit your work because of...
Modeling agency. So you are a model... And there are some clothes. Well, I'm going to answer you straightforward. It's not wrong for a Christian to be a model. Amen? Do you understand? It's not wrong. But I believe that everybody that is a believer should have standards. And let me say this to you. Don't bend your standards. Stay with them. The word will bend to you. What I'm telling you is forever true. You might lose one or two contracts because of it. But at the end of the day, they will bend to you. Don't you know about actresses that you can never see them exposing themselves? And they are big in the industry. Have you not seen such things? If you have your standard, the world will bend to you. So you have a job person say they are going to... I say, I'm in for the job. He said, what it means? I'm going to wear bikini. I don't wear that. He said, then get out. I say, oh, fine, bye-bye. Carry your job. Eat it. How much are you paying me? Amen? How much are you paying me? You wear bikini and do whatever. 7-10 years later, you get married. 15 years later, your kids are grown. And are seeing, say, I see my mommy on pants. So why are you going to encourage your children not to wear whatever? So you should have your standards. Are you getting me? You should have your standards. The fact that you are an actress doesn't mean you must be doing every other thing. Unbelievers do unbelieving things. I am a believer. Okay, so, sir, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to model for you. I can take this picture, I can take that picture, but you see this one, bra, bikini, I'm not doing. You say, you're not ready for this, and I say, that's the truth. I'm not ready. And you can even begin to pray, and God will begin to change those hearts to accept what you want. I didn't get the point. We make it look like you cannot advertise cream these days without going naked. And so I ask myself, are there no creams in the 80s and the 70s? But I don't know creams in the 50s. How are they advertising it? I didn't get the point. Must I have to show my back and my buttocks so that you know the cream is working on me? It's not working in my hand. Hand of my neck. I guess making life difficult. I get the point. So you should be able to model. And it's a good thing if you're going to modeling. And that's why some of you that are even have that passion. As you begin to grow in that industry, you can set up your own modeling agencies as a believer and have what you do and what you don't do. My ushers will not wear that. They want ushers to come and usher with skirts that are just here. So my ushers will not wear that. You say, let's give job to another person. Give job to another person. You have some standards for yourself. Are you following me? That's why you're a Christian. Don't bend the world will bend to you. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? Hallelujah. I'll say more next week. Next week, I'm going to teach and we're going to pray extensively next week. Because I'll try. Is next week the last Thursday? Right? So I'm going to toe the lines of ministry again and give some strong instructions that God has dropped in my heart for you and for the ministry, even from now henceforth. Package your offering quickly. Let's give our offering. Hallelujah. Are you ready to declare? I said, are you ready to declare?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.